Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome live from Studio G in Greenville, South Carolina. It's Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John. I want to say happy holidays to everybody. We've got a few more holidays coming up, including the 12 days of Christmas. And I want my partridge in a pear tree, Velvet. But anyway, it's great. We've got some great co-hosts, an incredible guest, a few more people joining us along the way. First of all, I'd like to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to the one and only Papa Stro. How are you doing tonight, Papa?
Great. Got my silver bells on, ready to roll, man.
All right, that's great. I'll remind you of that. Got your silver bells
on.
Oh,
Lord.
Right. And here he comes from Ravenel, South Carolina, the world's greatest pro wrestling interview host, the one and only... Oh, it's the Amazing Velvet. Sorry about that, Velvet. Almost forgot who you were. Just teasing.
Wow.
We could never forget you. And so,
guy.
First of all, Velvet, answer one question. How are you doing tonight?
Yes. Doing great.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He's amazing.
Yeah, and, well, he really is. And I would like to ask for a comment from you, Velvet, on the passing of one of the true greats of all time in professional wrestling, the world famous Danny Hodge. And then you can tell us about our guest tonight and get the ball rolling.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you all. Thanks for joining Danny. Oh my gosh, Danny Hodge. Where do you begin? One of the smartest and most athletic guys for his time period and his side, but he was strong as an ox. Don't let him shake your hand, like Papa Stro said earlier. No. He used to crush apples in his hands and all kind of stuff, so he was strong. It's a sad day for professional wrestling that we lost one of the greats in this business. Unfortunately, it's going to happen to all of us one day, but it's just unfortunate it happened. He had a great career. He's a great man. So, without further ado, not bringing the show down, we have the one and only, no one as fine as Michael Devine. How you doing, Michael?
Oh, well, you know, it is always oh so fine when you are Michael, by God Devine, the old great gorilla, the
yes.
Killer. The doctor, if
no.
You will.
Yes.
And I'm doing fine and wonderful right here. How's everybody doing?
I think everybody's good. You know what? I've known you a long time. We haven't always seen eye to eye. We traveled the roads. We shared locker rooms. But there
right.
is one thing that you and I can always agree on. We always have love and respect for our business of professional wrestling. We've always had that. And that's
exactly.
something we can always agree on. So,
exactly.
biggest question that everybody wants to know, and I do, I know a little bit about it, but here's the thing. What got you, I want to say, why, what, when, how, and where? How did this all come about for you? To be in this business, how'd you get started? What did it take? You know, all that stuff. So the floor is yours, sir. Let us know.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, probably like you and many others, I was a wrestling fan, and being born in Spartanburg, South Carolina, raised in the Metro Columbia, South Carolina. But my grandmother and I used to watch professional wrestling every Saturday. When I would visit her in Spartanburg, South Carolina, we watched Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling out of the station there was WLOS in Spartanburg, coming out of Asheville, North Carolina. And we went to wrestling match at the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium when it was, I believe, Johnny Weaver against, I think it was Pac Sung, because Pac Sung put the
oh
salt in his shoe. And threw it in
yep.
Johnny Weaver's eyes, and my grandmother lost her mind. And as a little kid, I was just watching, and I was just like, ooh, this is what I want to do. of course, she didn't know I'm going to be a bad guy. You didn't know what.
Right.
So I was a wrestling fan for a long, long time. Now, unlike it is now today, to get a wrestling school back in the day was like trying to join the mafia. It was a secret society. And I remember at 18 years old, I was living in Columbia. I happened to be up around Spring Valley and went into a convenience store, and I saw a picture of Rick Jacobs, RJ the American. And the sign said, "You want a professional wrestler?" I was like, "Hell yeah." So I wrote the number down and called him. Well, RJ was actually working out of Moolah School. Moolah was training guys and girls, but RJ did the guy. So I called him, and of course he asked the question, "How'd you hear about me?" And I said, "Well, I was in the convenience store and all that." So I met him, went down to Moolah School, and of course, 18 years old, and they gave me the price of training, which was $2,500. I like, oh, I didn't bump their whole head. So I was like, I ain't got that kind of money. So it actually ended up when I was 21, I started working at the prison. And I ran it, and a friend of mine who was also a correctional officer came to me. We were on duty. He was like, "Well, I'm going to start training for wrestling." I said, "Where at?" He knew Johnny Z. And I think you know Johnny Z. John Z.
Yes, sir.
So I went out with him, met Johnny Z, and started training with him. Now, we were being trained in a concrete building with no windows and no doors. Concrete now in the summertime, so you know what that means. It was hot as seven hells in there. And in the wintertime, it was cold as seven hells in there. So as a matter of fact, Johnny Z, Hollywood Tommy Landale, and, of course, the late, great Southern Patriot Sammy Morton were the three guys that trained me to wrestle. And this was like 89 is going into that. So they trained me, and I'm going to tell you what, Johnny said it when I was like, "Damn, it's hot in here." He said, "You're not going to work in any place hotter or colder." He didn't lie. So after training with him, I'd say like 6 months to a year, started going on shows with him and Tommy. I'd work with them. I managed them a couple of times. And they started, and they were working for, this is, y'all remember when Paul Jones and them were running with SAWA? I think that was
right
at that
time.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were doing a shot there, and then they were doing the runs with WWF.
No,
so Johnny was going back to work back with Moolah for a little bit. Hello.
Yeah, we're here. Keep going.
Okay. So they started working back with Moolah. She was doing a promotion, so I started training, getting like the finishing touches of my training with Fabulous Moolah and Johnny Mae Young, which was a wonderful time for me because I got to meet Moolah, and it was almost like they came full circle because, you know, when I was 18, I was there and didn't have $2,500. And now here I was getting trained with Moolah, and the guy, and it was, and Sammy was there, Steve Superfoot Douglas, of course, Johnny and Tommy. Superfoot, yes.
Yeah, I've heard that name in forever.
Butcher Blackwell.
As we can hear you.
No, I'll go to her. She's fine.
Yep.
If I send her a polite letter, I bet she'll give me the
necklace.
There's only one thing to
do. Chaz, Amy.
Hey, what's up?
We can hear you.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
You're live, pal.
Hey, Chaz, what's up?
Well, there goes the neighborhood.
people just go, see, Dave, Velvet, can you not control stuff around him?
I'm trying, brother. They straight shooting.
But, so
go ahead, finish.
Yeah, so I started working with Moolah's promotion, and that was a lot of time. But now, this is when, I don't think Dave, now, Velvet, I don't think you and I knew each other then.
No.
So you did not know that when I started working for the Fabulous Moolah.
No.
Before I was Magnificent Michael Devine and Magnificent Michael Martel and Big Daddy Kane, all of the names I would have, I was simply Magnificent Michael for the Fabulous Moolah. And I wore pink, and I had earrings, and I was just magnificent. And and she had this big black dude doing this gay gimmick as a face in Orangeburg, South Carolina.
Oh Lord!
You know, just a stone's throw away from Arizona State University. So yeah.
Yep.
And I did that for a while with her. Yeah. Yeah, and after a show, I think we were in Winsboro. And again, I'm the face, and I'm not getting that facial effect. And at the end of the show, I went to Moolah at the table. I said, "So when am I turning heel?" She said, "We got you, baby." And the next show, I became a heel. And I was like, "Thank you, Jesus, because this face stuff ain't working with this gimmick."
That's funny. See, I didn't hear that story, but yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and then the thing with me, after I worked with Moolah for a while, and then I just started, I guess, just because my personality and just me, I hooked up with Lewis Crane in Greenville. Around Greer and stuff, started working, and he brought me in. Y'all remember Stone Cold Kid Deion Johnson? Black Cat Deion Johnson.
That? Who couldn't remember that?
Yeah, Deion, baby.
Deion, matter of fact, Deion had just got into the 500. And
right.
Lewis brought me up to work him, and I actually liked the idea, because he was like, we want to bring you in as a hitman from New York coming to bring Stone Cold Kid, that's what New York was at the time, bring him home. And I was like, well, shoot, I can do that. So I put on a suit. I'm doing my whole Mr. Hughes type of thing. Big Daddy Kane walks up there and did my first promo in Greenville, telling him, I said, look, we let you come down here and do this stuff down south, but it's time to bring you home. And if you don't come with your own 2 feet, I'll bring back your body. And Deion went with it, and we did a good program for a little bit. And for me, I mean, and that just kicked it off. I went from a singles wrestler because I've always liked tag team. So for a while I was doing singles wrestling, and I'm about to bring up a name that I think all of y'all know. He's from West Virginia. And he moved to South Carolina. At the time, he was the DJ Kid. Later on, he became the Fabulous Playboy Bob Keller.
Oh yeah,
Bob Keller.
and me and Bob teamed up again with Lewis Crane up in Greer as the tag team Pretty Mean. I'm the mean one. He's the pretty one, and together we're pretty mean.
Pretty mean. I love it.
I do, too. That's great stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, and that just kind of kicked off. And, I mean, I could go on and on, but really for me, the thing about wrestling, because I grew up watching it, was I love the sport, and I love the ability to have the people in the palm of my hand and make them hate me, because I enjoyed being a heel, But I enjoyed being a face because I'd be the nice guy and all that, and then when they'd be going to turn to heel, oh, yeah, I got you, man. You know? So it was wonderful, and I got to meet, oh, I got to tell y'all this. It was for, I forgot whose show it was, they were doing Wagons to Wagner, and they had a wrestling match. Scott Bullet Brazier got me on the show. They had Junkyard Dog on there. Matter of fact, I was teaming up with beautiful Butch Malone. We were the Atomic Blue. Yeah, I remember Butch. Yeah, me and Butch, boy. So me, Junkyard Dog was on the show, and me and Dog were in the locker room just talking. Now, we both had towels over our heads, and we both had bellies, even though mine was not as big as it is now. But we were just sitting there talking with the towels over our heads, and somebody came in and said, all right, Dog, you got to do such and such. And neither one of us were responding, and then the person tapped me, and I'm like, huh? He said, oh, I thought you were Dog. And I said, oh, he's next to me. So me and Dog were talking, and me and Dog found out that we were going to be on a show in Augusta, Georgia at Ain College. So Dog was like, hey, we ought to tag up on that show. I said, well, I think I'm working. I don't think I'm working. He said, don't worry about it. So I'm excited as a runaway slave. I'm like, oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we're with the Junkyard Dog. I contacted Juanita Timms in Atlanta, Georgia, and, well, Ken Timms, I contacted him.
Right.
I had a pair of red tights and blue trunks made, and I had a Atomic Dog on the butt of it, so it was a Junkyard Dog and his nephew, the Atomic Dog, wrestling in Augusta, Georgia. And at that point, look, my career could have ended right there. I said, I teamed up with Junkyard Dog. Oh my God!
Right.
I was like, hey, I'm done. I ain't gotta do nothing. Hell, nothing. But luckily for me, I just kept going. I've met a lot of great guys. I met, me and Velvet go back. I still remember Velvet. I still remember the shot I did in Charleston when y'all brought me in. I think that was when Reggie was the heel manager for that organization.
Yep.
Y'all brought me in, and you had the guy that was the commissioner. So I'm in the ring, and of course, those that know me know I can talk and cut a promo. So I'm in the ring cutting the promo, and I'm going around to everybody in the ring that I know. So I go to you, I know you. I went to Velvet. I said, duh, I know you, Razor Velvet. And I go to the commission, who I don't know. And I'm like, and you? I don't know who you are, but pleased to meet you. Well, Pop, and Velvet is trying not to crack up.
Yeah, I'm trying to crack up.
I have just enjoyed my wrestling career, and the fact that it's still going now into 2021.
This is 32nd year or 31st year at this point?
This would be what? Because I've started my first one like in 89, so this is what? I'm bad at math now. 32 years. January will be 32 years.
Nice.
And still doing it after a stroke, baby. You know,
I know.
August 2017, I had that stroke. And because I wanted to get back in the ring, that got me through. I love this industry. I love this sport, and to me, it's always going to be a sport. I don't care what anybody says.
Matt, I agree.
I'm like Jim Cornette. I'm like the stuff that I'm seeing on some of this garbage. It bothers me, but it's what we got. So with my training and the guys that I'm training, and then getting in there with guys like Velvet, and getting in the ring with, you know, my tag team partners with the squad and all that, and getting in the ring with Stro, you know. Look, this all right, let me just say this, and I know I'm going on, but I just got to say, wrestling, professional wrestling has been a good wife to me. Now, she's been hard on me. You know, she's been hard. Look, she's been hard. There have been times when I wanted some, she wouldn't give it up. You know, she was.
Right.
But there's, I have given my life, and when they say blood, sweat, and tears, that stuff is real.
It is.
I mean, it's just that. But again, you get to meet so many tremendous guys. You get to, you know, meeting, you know, the first time I met Stro, and I don't know if Stro remembers this. The first time I met Stro was in, I don't know if it was in Hemingway. It was somewhere in Hemingway. There was a show for ECPW. He was still doing the WCW Stro gimmick with the tape and everything. And I just remember seeing him on that show going, wow, that's pretty cool. That's the first time I saw him. And then years later, I'm down in Wilmington, and here he is doing Papa, and I'm like, same dude, you know, that's the dude, you know, that's the dude that played the piano, and my God, the craziness, the wackiness. And the guys you get to meet. I mean, the thing is, you saw him years ago, and then you see him again, and then you talk to him, and it's like, wow. This is a brotherhood. This is a family. We can have disagreements, and yeah, like brothers, we disagree like cats and dogs. I've said some horrible things to Velvet that I've apologized for. But I have to
admit, it's all good,
man. It was funny when I said it's funny now, but it was. I mean,
it comes full circle, though, because when you had your stroke and I got diagnosed with cancer and you were battling, fighting back, and you were about ready to get back in the ring, and I had you come down, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to do it again. We came in. I honored some people. He had no idea I was going to honor him. And what happened when I pulled you in the ring? What happened there, sir?
Jesus, I had no idea what he had planned. So he pulls me into the ring, and he does the whole thing. And I just broke down and cried in the ring. I was just like, I can't believe. He handed me a plaque and all that. And that touched me a lot. When I got into professional wrestling, I got in it because it was a dream. I didn't get into it to be a millionaire. I didn't get into it to, I mean, I love it.
Right.
I didn't get into it to be, you know, I want to be in someone's Hall of Fame. I love doing this. It was what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
I did not. It showed me, first of all, the fact that he did that, it showed the tremendous respect and love he had and has for me. And I have that for him because really, Velvet, as look, when I know that the door is open for me to come to Charleston and work for him, and he knows all he got to do is call me, and if I can get there, I'm going to be there. We're going to tear the roof down. There are a lot of guys in this business that I can call upon and ask questions. And when they give me the answer, I know that they are telling me the truth. He was one of the people that when I recovered from the stroke and was trying to come back in the ring, I actually went back to Columbia. I came back to Columbia, worked out with Sue, got a text down to her place. I talked to Tank, I talked to Dave. And I knew that if Tank and Dave told me, Mike, I think it's time for you to lay it down, I would lay it down. That's just, that's the trust, respect that I have for Dave, for those people and others. Do I know when I come to them and say, hey, this is what I got going on. This is what I want to do. But do I still, what do you see? Can I still do this? Tell me yes, and this coming from them, I'm still doing it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, what I feel sorry for the young guys that I'm training now and the guys that are coming up now, and everybody on this call, Stroh, Dave, everybody can probably agree with this, they don't have what we had. I mean, guys, remember we had, there was no GPS. You got a map.
Right, you had to find it.
You didn't have a cell phone. You had to get the payphone. Nope. If you had a pager,
right?
You had to get the, I mean, you. I mean, there was, man, Jesus. And look, my first match was in Brevard, North Carolina, with Johnny and Tommy. I want you to know, baby, we drove to Brevard, North Carolina, from Columbia, South Carolina, on a map, drinking Mad Dog 2020. By the time we got to Brevard, we were in no condition to be
right to be in the ring. Wow!
But we did it.
Well, Doctor,
I ran in the Clement Field. I worked that show King's Pavilion with him. That was the first show I've been on that had all these African American wrestlers. I mean, that was the most black wrestlers I had seen since I started wrestling. And
right,
that's when I met Men on the Mission. They hadn't gone up yet. They were the Death Squad, and that was like boom. Of course, I didn't realize I had to pull a gun on damn Clinton Fields to get my damn money. Because I didn't know that.
Yes,
all I knew was. Johnny, I'm down to advantage Johnny and Tommy. That's what I know. And I know I'm supposed to get some money. And I was informed, the pay window. There you go. But I was informed by somebody I would get my he ain't got who money. He gonna have my money. I'm like Richard Pryor Hill, he got my money. So I go in and I'm like, someone looks at me like, well, I ain't got no money for you. What? So now I'm crazy, but I ain't done. At the time, I had a gun, 44 Colt Anaconda. I took all the bullets out because, you know, we gonna get our money, but we ain't trying to go to jail in Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
I took all the bullets out, and I go in there with Clement, and I said, where's my money? Pull this gun on him. Now, I don't know if this Negro got a gun. I don't care about my money. He gives me money. I'm assuming it was what he's supposed to pay me. He gave me a bunch of money. I left. I didn't take a booking in Charleston until you called me for that booking. Because I was like, I avoided Charleston. I was like, I am sure this thing going to be.
Yeah, he's going to find you. But Papa Stroh, do you have and who all else is on the line, Dr. John? Who else do we have with us besides Papa Stroh?
The millions and millions online. Yeah.
Well, we have along with Papa Stroh and you, we have Chaz Moretti, and we have the great Todd Saxon from Jacksonville. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Gentlemen, it's been wonderful to sit here and listen for the last wee bit and hear these great stories. Outstanding. I hope everybody is well.
Oh, yeah. And how's Chaz Moretti and the Moretti Agency?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks a lot for the hot mic. I appreciate it. Dr. John, I'll get you later for that. Don't you worry.
I'm sorry. I heard that. I thought everything was going great. I normally screw
up. It was going great until you hot mic'd me. That's all right. We'll get you later.
All right.
And, you know, it's a pleasure listening. It's a pleasure listening to the stories from the old days and how promoters had to be politely coerced into giving the workers their money. I had a recent experience that I'll talk more about later on in the week. So I definitely understand. I definitely understand where we're coming from with that, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But
Michael Devine,
sometimes
Chaz
old school is not good school, Chaz.
It's okay. It's like Mr. Devine said. It doesn't matter. I want my money.
Exactly. There you go.
We are. Now, Chaz, I got to throw this out there. The you hit a handful of us there on Facebook the other night with a bit of YouTube from Roddy Piper that was really freaking cool, dude. Thank you.
Well, it went along what we were talking about with the idea of a Christmas carol and whatnot, so I found it and I thought it was kind of funny and tagged all you guys in it. Yeah,
that was very
cool. I want to ask Mr. Devine a question.
Yeah.
Over the course of 30 some odd years.
Don't worry, I'll wait.
You know, you talk about.
Go ahead.
You keep cutting me off. I mean, there's going to be trouble. You'll be cleaning the bathroom with Amy. Don't even go there.
I was supposed to go next.
I'll put you to work, Velvet.
Somebody was asking me a question. The guy was asking me a question.
You know, over the course of 32 years, you know, these kids all like to say that wrestling's evolved. What do you think the good and bad parts of that statement are?
That wrestling has evolved?
Yeah, that, you know, what we embraced as the traditions and the way we were brought up in the business. I've only been in the business 11 years, but I was brought up by a gentleman named Jimmy Blaze, who's been in the business for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I understand that mentality. But, you know, a lot of these kids are like, oh, that doesn't work anymore because wrestling's evolved. I don't get that statement. What's your take on it?
Let them have it, Devine.
Here's the thing. Wrestling.
Preach,
what the hell are they talking about evolved? Wrestling,
I have no idea.
Has always been professional wrestling.
Yeah.
But this is not the Mesoeric. This is not prehistoric time. Wrestling is basically what it is. It is conflict. It is two individuals that are handling their conflict in the center of that ring, and we are going to fight. I don't like you, Papa Strong, because you took my title. So I'm going to do what I need to do to get it back. And if that means I got to burn your eyeballs out and kick you in the gut to get it done, we're going to get it done. There's no evolution.
Daddy.
And
what are you talking about?
You get in there and we have the conflict. We do what we're supposed to do to each other to win. One thing about Michael Devine has always been that whether you cheer for me or you hate me, the bottom line is this. I'm going to do what I need to do to win. So that means I have to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm a lie, cheat, and steal, Daddy. And if I'm your tag team partner tonight, don't bank on me being your tag team partner tomorrow night, because you may have something I want. But there's no, I don't understand that evolution, though. I will just say this, to the young folks saying that, you don't want to do the work, that we've been doing for 30-plus years and beyond, okay? This is professional wrestling. Let me just say this, and I know folks are going to just pop whatever. I did not train to be a sports entertainer. I trained to be a professional wrestler.
God.
I'm not an actor.
I totally agree.
Just take my lunch money.
I am a professional wrestler. If I wanted to be in a damn movie, I guess I'd be an actor, but I'm not. I'm a professional wrestler. That's what I do. I don't understand what they mean by evolving, because just like anything, there's, again, you got the good guys, quote unquote, and the bad guy. You got the conflict. As I train my guys, matter of fact, I was telling them today, we were working on promos. I said, you know what your promo is? The perfect promo, and Jim Cornette gave me this idea, and I'm thinking for it. It's the devil went down to Georgia. That's the story you tell it. The devil came to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. Well, here we go. We started off. There's the heel. He sees Johnny on that vent, on that fiddle. Make a deal. There's your baby face. We start our conflict. We tell our story. The baby face goes over on the heel, but the heel ain't done it until they can get you. There's no evolution. What evolution are you talking about, you dumb monkey? We're professional wrestlers. What do they want to be? What is it evolving? The thing is, all right, if it's evolving, what's it evolving to? What's it evolving from? Because the bases are, again, a conflict, competition, two people, one trying to get over, or two teams, whatever, one trying to get over on the other.
What? Let's lock up,
evolution? Man. Yeah, let's lock up and get the thing done.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I think a lot of them want to just tap each other on the back, run the ropes, and flip as many times as they can, looking for some kind of damn scorecard. I don't know. 9.7 from the East German judge or something nonsense.
Yeah, we're not. This is not the Olympics.
Do hot.
This is just a conflict. This is just a competition between. When the Amazing Velvet and Michael Devine gets in the ring as opponents or as a tag team, our goal is to win.
Getting overly judgmental.
You know?
Exactly.
You know who I am. People know I'm a heel. I'm going to do my dirty deed. You know? So, I don't understand the evolution. And all I got to say is, if you get in the ring with me and that's your mentality, I'm going to evolve your thinking.
Yeah,
that works for me.
All right.
Yeah,
real quick.
I'm a evolve real because I'm a kick in your head.
Been there and done that, brother.
Yeah,
been done that. I know Stroh has
evolved
that,
evolve that.
Right. Put your teeth up and don't bite your tongue.
I gotta
put them back in your face.
Yep. No, I gotta tell you guys something. The worst beating I ever took was when I got Lutez pressed by Dorothy in Vegas.
Dorothy.
No, you ain't been hurt till Dorothy's Lutez pressed you. I've had
that happen. She keeps me on my toes, man. Good Lord.
Yes, sir.
Between
right,
Dorothy and Amy, I'm
up.
Screwed.
All right,
and
Papa,
look,
your turn. You're up, buddy.
Yeah, there's Stroh Pellet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're done. Next.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'd like to thank my million cohorts here in the show for having me. Okay.
We love you, dude.
All right, brother. All right, Devine, I'm finally here, man. It took me a while. I'm all blown up, but I'm here. Mercy. It took me a while. Look, man, you've done so much in your career, man. I mean, tell us some of your highlights, man, some of the high points you hear that you always, like, you know, that stands out the most, you know what I mean, in your mind.
Oh, my God. Highlight. Jesus. I'm going to tell you, first, every time I get in the ring is a highlight. Every time it's a blessing and a highlight. Just because you're never guaranteed another day and just to be able to get in this ring. I will say, and I know people, when they hear about the 500 and stuff like that, and they go, what the magazine, da, 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 da. I have to tell you, though, for me, when I got into the 500 for the very first time, it did mean something to me because it was in my 10th year in the wrestling. But I had always stayed in South Carolina. I had not left the state. I was happy staying in South Carolina. But I had started going on the road and was wrestling in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. And somebody said, hey, Muhammad Cain is working at that time. You're in the 500. So I said, oh, well, look through it. I said, damn, I am. That was a highlight. Tagging up with the Junkyard Dog, that was a big highlight. That was. I mean, because I grew up watching him. I mean, I was like, oh, that's the Junkyard Dog. I'm with the Junkyard Dog. There's so many. Teaming up with Bob Keller has been a highlight. Because I will say this, a lot of people don't like Bob Keller. I know they don't. But let me say this about me and tag teams especially. And when you find a tag team partner that you did not know for years, and when I first met Bob, I did not know him, and we tagged up, like, after knowing each other for 3 years, and it was like we knew each other for centuries. I can say the same thing with the Gorilla Squad and every and most of these I've been with. It's that energy and that synergy. So teaming up with him, of course, now I'm with the Gorilla Squad, and that's wonderful. What is the Howard God? And I guess also for me, it's just seeing the effect that I have in the ring on not just fans, but on future wrestlers. And this just popped in my head, and I'm glad it just did, because this was moving to me. I was on a show, and I want to say I was in West Virginia, but I was getting dressed. And as anybody has seen me getting dressed, I'm up to myself because I'm trying to get my brain. And so there's these kids talking. And they were going, oh, well, I remember when he did such and such, and I'm halfway listening. And I remember when he did, and he did such and such. And that's when he was wrestling as, his name was Muhammad Kane. And I'm going, like, huh? Who are they talking about? What? And as I'm paying attention, I'm present and talking about me, and I'm looking, and I'm like, these young boys who are wrestling now remember me from back in the day. And one came to me and said, I just want to let you know that when I saw you wrestle, that made me want to be a professional wrestler. And I was like, what? Me? And that I'll tell you the honest truth, that means more to me and will probably be the highlight for me, that something that I did years ago had a young guy or young guys decide, hey, I want to be just like him and be a professional wrestler, and they remember what I did. And I think that'd be the biggest highlight, other than now, one of the guys that I'm training. Because in my years of being a professional wrestler, I've had my own name. I've come up with my own names, everything I've done. Nobody gave me a name. I've come up with my own. Either they've changed it, but it's been mine. I'm training a young guy right now, and he's actually done training. So he's helping me train guys. And he is a cancer survivor. And so I asked him, I said, look, I like what you're doing. And there's something I just want to ask you. I said, I would like to give you my name, Divine. And this kid's face lit up. And all of a sudden he cried. He was like, I'd be honored. So the young guy that is helping me train now and who's going to carry on the Divine name when I'm finally retired, AC Divine, that was moving to me. So for me, it's not about going to some big show or winning a title. It's the people, it's the friendship, it's the effect that I've had on other young wrestlers. It's meeting guys like Dave and knowing him and meeting Papa Stroh and talking to him, being locked in with him and just sharing the stories and doing stuff like this. It's just being in the business and giving back. That's my biggest accomplishment. I know I rambled, but yeah, that's the accomplishment. That's when I'm getting gone and y'all talk with Michael Devine, tell him that shit. Oh, pardon my language.
No, you're good. Oh, you're good. You ain't gotta worry about it. You're good.
That's all. Okay. Awesome.
Tell him that. Tell him that stuff.
I have to ask you to explain to these guys one thing that is always funny that I bring up, and especially with the Gorilla Squad. It was me, you, Tank, D, Mac, and Ali. We were all on Beast Warrior Show at the middle school, and You know what I'm talking about, right?
Refresh remember. Remember, I had a stroke. Now I got a refresh memory now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're all ready. We're all in the second half of the show. They had intermission, and D-Mac started running his mouth and started talking trash about the locker room.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Papa Stroh, this is funny, right? So, D-Mac's
okay.
talking about, he goes, I don't care about none of y'all in here, this and that. He started going, he goes, ain't y'all all scared of me? I'm the biggest, baddest. I walk right up to him. I can't even look him in the eye. I'm looking him in the belly button. I walk right up to him, and I said, I ain't scared of nothing. Next thing you know it, here come Tank and Michael Devine. They come running over. Do they grab D-Mac? No, they grab
me.
They're like, Dave, chill out. And this dude's looking at me like, is this guy serious? And Michael Devine goes, oh, he's serious.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so funny. So every time I see D-Mac, go ahead, Mike.
No, finish it up.
So every time I see him, I've seen him after that, I always run up on him and do the same thing. Man, come on, man, stop that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Look, Dave, and the thing is, Mac was hot. I mean, Mac was hot.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, I mean, here it is. You got King Kong is ready to smash and destroy. And here comes little Dave. And he's like, it's like me and Tank are like, does he not know that Mac will kill him? But that's just the way Dave is. And the fact that Mac, I mean, and I'm going to tell you, Mac obviously was like, okay, what?
But you know what? What came out of that whole deal was not only respect, but a good friendship, too. So
yeah.
I can't change that for anything. And that's how we operate as old school people, you know?
Yeah.
And it happens. You know, you and, like we said, opening in the show, you and I didn't always see eye to eye, but we do respect and love this business. And that's
exactly
what it's about. We have to love and respect this business and show her love. Otherwise, we're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right. And the thing is this, because like we all were trained, this is we call each other brother for a reason, because we are brothers, and brothers
correct.
Fight, brothers disagree.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But the thing is, but if you put your hand on my brother now, hold up now.
Yeah.
I can talk junk about Amazing Velvet. I can talk junk about D-Mac and all these people in L.A. Tank, but don't you put your hand up. Don't get your head twisted off. Don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it. You know. And we're gonna be there, because even when David, when Melvin and I had our words and issues, and I like, oh, fuck him. I ain't gotta talk to him. I ain't fair to him, and he ain't fair to me. So what you gotta say? What you gotta do? Get yourself straight. But as soon as the word got to me, that he was going through, and when he found out what I was going through, we were there for each other. We were there because that is what this business is about. So, and again, so when I see people, particularly that know better, pissing on this business, that does bother me. It does make me angry. I train my guys and say, look, you do what the promoter and the booker says to do. But I have to check myself, because I might catch heat for this. I'm going to say this. If somebody booked me to work Marco's stunt in a match and told me to put him over, I'd be like, I'm going to kill this little boy. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not. No, you bet not. And so I'm a trainee, but I work too hard being Michael Devine. And doing what I'm doing in this business for as long as I have, to get in the ring and pissed on what I've done for all these years. I got too much respect for it. I got too much respect for Stroh. I mean, because I didn't know, you know, I mean, sure, I've seen Robbie Eagle, and I'm like, he's been doing it longer than me. I got too much respect for him. I got too much respect for Junkyard Dog. I got too much respect for the guys that came before me, for Moolah, for Johnny and Tommy, for Sammy, God rest his soul. For me to lay down for a dude that, nah. I can't do that. It's not me. I got on my soapbox again, Dave.
You good. No, you good. Because you know what? People need to hear this because today needs to get, like you said, and like what Chaz asked you, it all fits together. It's a puzzle piece. We're all puzzle pieces, but we have to do our job in that puzzle. And if we don't, then, you know, it doesn't work. You know,
if I could add one thing, it's the biggest problem that I see, not only in our business, but also just in life in general, is the ready access of the internet. You know, people have internet stones, for lack of a better word. They're all big and bad behind a keyboard, but they'll never, ever say it when you're around or say it to your face. Because they just don't have the gumption to back it up. And, you know, I've heard over the course of the past year for myself, oh, there's a legion of haters against you. Yeah, but not one of them steps up to the plate.
Right.
I'm not hard to find. And I'm not always right.
Why are you yelling?
Right.
I'm not yelling.
right.
Amy,
you know, I throw it out there.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is this. A lot of these folks, and I've taken heat for this, a lot of these folks I've blocked from social media because they just plain don't exist in my world. But they'll come back and they'll talk all kinds of nonsense. And, you know, as P.T. Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So, yeah, keep my name in your head. Keep my name in your mouth. Just spell
Michael,
it correctly.
Didn't we always say that? We've always said that.
But, you know, no, going along with
I throw this out there for Chaz, and Chaz knows. The first, it was on Papa Stroh's show that we first met. We had a conversation. He found out that where I work was near his locale, and he was beyond cordial, invited me to a show. So this might be a little bit different for those folks for the online comments. But I'll go with bitch, please. I'll tell you I love you when I see you. So deal with it.
No, I agree. I agree. The only person I ever have to truly worry about in this world who's got enough gumption to back it up and she shoots is my wife. My wife is not the one you want to tangle with.
You. Those are real
the
words.
The brains behind the Moretti Agency.
Real world words.
Oh, my gosh. Stroh, you got anything else to add?
Wow. How could I top that? You guys really stole the show.
Well, it's all about Michael Devine, baby.
Yeah. Let's get back to Michael, please. Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Devine, I just want to say that you know, this isn't really a question. It's more or less a thank you. Thank you for being a part of our wrestling family. Thank you for everything you've done for your career. Thank you for everything you've done for me and everyone that you've been involved with for professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
It's such a pleasure having you as a brother in the business. And I always love you, respect you, and cherish you for it.
Thank you. I thank the business for having me, for accepting me, because being a professional wrestler is not easy. And I didn't even touch on the fact that I'm a black professional wrestler, and many a time I was the only black man on the show. And the love and respect that I have gotten from professional wrestlers who were not my skin color, but who took care of me. I've been on shows where the fans were not particularly fond of my skin color, even when I was the face. And it was the brothers in the back of a lighter hue that were not the same color, but who were my brothers, who took care of me and made sure that, hey, we're going to get you up out of here. I think the rest of the business for having me and embracing me and allowing me to live my dream. And for 32 years, I've lived a dream. Y'all don't understand, if tomorrow they say, you know, you can't wrestle again. Okay, you know what? For 32 years, I lived a dream. I can't be mad at that. For 32 years, how many people can say that for 32 years, you lived your dream? I can't be mad at that. So I thank you for those kind words. And I love them, I appreciate them, but I send them back to you because you and guys like you embraced me and took me in and said, hey, this kid, this dude, this guy, just embraced me, took me in the arms and took care of me. And I hope that I have done good by those who embraced me. And I hope I continue to do that. And I hope that the guys that I'm training pick up that same message. So, brother, I say thank you, and to everybody else, and Dave, hey, Velvet, brother, you know I'm always there for you. But I got to say thank you to you, because again, you booked Michael Devine way back in the day on your show, and brother, that was. You don't have to. Every time I get booked on a show, and I'm honored to get booked on a show, I don't take that for granted, because you could have picked somebody else. You picked me, and I'm going to do my best to honor your choice or having me on your show. And I can only hope, and you've told me in the past that I have, and I'm taking you for your word, because you never lied to me before. I just hope that every show I've been on for you, I did what you needed me to do, you know? And I'm going to continue to do that now, you know? Like I said, I'm 53 years old, be 54 also in 2021. I'm still doing this bad boy, you know, not as fast as I used to be. You know how the best rules say it? My belly may be a little bit big. My hind may be a little bit big. But I can still go. And as long as I can still go,
yeah.
if you want me on your show, Dave, you know, hey, you know I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
I will do what I need to do. And if I can't get it done, I'll bring somebody that can get it done for me.
That's right. Listen, man, we got some big things we're working on in 2020, and you're definitely going to be a part of that. That's not an issue at all. And your guys, too. So they better strap
on. Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a ride, brother. It's going to be a hell of a ride.
Look,
I like it.
Well, you know the squad is always ready to go. Matter of fact, we did a little tribute show for Shane Martin, and we hadn't been in the ring together, me, Ollie, and Tank, since March, when all this stuff happened with Corona. And we got in that ring in a six-man tag, and it was like, oh, shoot. What happened? Did we have a break? Because it was just like, ooh, we're on. Now, again, it was, you know, for me it was a little rough because I have determined, because of the stroke, because of the numbness on my left leg, we can't wear pants no more. The patent leather boots are a little hard on the fatigue, so we got to go to the natural leather, which is fine. But it was great. Yeah, so look, so the squad, you know the squad is ready today. All you got to do is call us, and we'll tell us who to eat.
We got you.
You can tell us who.
That ain't an issue.
All you got to do is say, make him limp. Hey, we'll make him limp. We got you.
But But you know what? The one thing, reason what you were saying, you know, thank you for picking you. I picked you because you had something back then, like the rest of us, that a lot of these guys today don't have. It's called the it factor, the spark, the fire, the desire, all that to be in this business and to be as good as you can be. And even though we, like we said, we didn't get along for a long time, but you know, here and there. But you, I didn't lie to you. I've never lied to you. I've always taken care of you, and I've never asked you to do anything that wasn't that was going to hurt your character or hurt you, period. And
nope,
that's
nope.
What it's about,
and,
you know.
Yeah, and you looked after me when I came back from the stroke, that I was there. Matter of fact, when I was working out with Tank in the ring, had that knee brace on, and I'm jumping over Tank.
Yep.
And even you and Tank both said, well, you know, Mike, you know, you need to work out some more, but you don't get there. And I was like, that's all I need to hear, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the thing. And I've always been a talker. So I get to the stage where I'm like, okay, physically I can't do it. Oh, y'all understand. Just because Michael Devine, the wrestler, might be done, oh, y'all ain't seen me manage. Because I managed, too. I managed while I was still wrestling. Y'all think Jim Cornette has something for your behind. You ain't seen nothing until you've been managed by Michael Devine. Oh no! I have caused a riot or two back in the day. I have. I will not forget. I am in. We are. Who was I was managing? I was in. We were in West Virginia. I'm a part of the House of Kane. I'm managing one of my boys at the ring. And all these West Virginians are around the ring, and they're running their mouth. And I find this one lady, because you know as a heel what you're supposed to do. I found this one lady with just five peepuses in her mouth. And I said to her, hey, did you have any children that live? Well, first of all, it took a while to catch that one. And I said, well, don't worry about it, honey. If you didn't have any, if they all did, it's probably because you ate them up with them five teeth you got. So a guy stood up, and he said something fly out his mouth to me. And I said, look, I have no time for white trash. Understand now, I'm the only black man on the show. I'm only real black man. And I just called this white dude white trash. And my brain went to, okay, you did not decide you want to leave here alive, did you, boy? And this dude got hot, and so did everybody else. When I got to the back, the reporter was like, that was some good heat, but, you might need to tap that back a little bit. They're riled up. I said, yeah, I kind of realized that. So I've caused riots. I've had to be escorted out of town in Marietta, Georgia. the Rock and Roll Rebel. Wait a minute. Pop the brakes. This is the one. Columbia, South Carolina. You remember Merlin Day? Remember Merlin?
We wrestled
at
Merlin's. I wrestled.
Yeah.
Yep. I wrestled there.
Yep. Okay, so this is after O.J. Simpson. After the 30. They got me in. I'm still doing Muhammad Kane. I got the African-American flag, and my manager is the one and only Jeff G. Bailey. And he cuts a promo while I'm waving this flag, unbeknownst to me, underneath the rebel flag. He's cutting a promo about how he's wanting to have his man show why all the white women want the black man. Why the black man is a superior athlete. Understand, O.J. has just been found not guilty. I'm waving this flag. So we get into the ring, and Bob Keller is the DJ kid. The rock and roll kid, DJ Taylor.
Right.
He comes out, he gets a Hulk Hogan pop. Now, this I think Tony Early was the promoter for this show. Now, this is not a televised match. This is a live show. He's like, basically, I'm supposed to eat Bob up in like 4 minutes. I'm like, what? It's not a TV or whatever. What you want me to do? So Bob comes to the ring. He's got the Hulk Hogan pop. I'm thinking to myself, man, this is a good match. I got to eat this dude up. Bob gets in the ring. I eat him up. Pin him. Well, as he's staggering out of the ring, the crowd that was cheering for him turned on him. They were saying, I can't believe you let that N-word beat you and all this kind of stuff. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be
lovely.
Uh-oh. Now, I only know of one promo. That's the one we did going out. So as we're getting ready to leave, Jeff gets the microphone. I'm like, what the hell? He cuts the promo. You've just seen the superiority of the black man. And I'm waving the flag, and at the peripheral vision, I see very upset white people crying, picking up chairs, and security running towards them. And I'm waving the flag, and I'm talking to Jeff behind his head, Jeff, let's go. Jeff, let's go. Jeff, let's go. We get to the back. Tony earlier is like, y'all causing a riot. Not y'all.
Him.
That's Jeff. Y'all ain't getting me killed. Uh-uh. So, I know Stroh's over there laughing, but he done caused a riot, too. He done caused a riot or two. So,
yes, sir.
And Stroh, now tell the truth, Stroh, it's fun causing a riot, ain't it? It's kind of fun.
It's a blast.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a rush. It's a rush.
You're not over as a heel until you've caused a riot.
Thank you.
Guys, that's what we call heat, baby. That's called heat.
This is Dr. John, and I got to tell y'all that even an announcer can cause a riot. I caused a riot personally in Albemarle, North Carolina.
Are you kidding? You still caused riots?
Oh, Lord.
Even on podcast, all right.
I 45 minutes ago when you hot mic'd me.
I love you.
I'm sorry. I'm always doing something wrong. But yeah. I got in a fight with a manager
John's a natural, man. He's a natural.
I am natural to cause trouble. That's what my fraternity name was, trouble. They threw me in the ring, started beating me up. They said, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "It's getting a pop out of the crowd, isn't it?" And then they all started laughing. They were on top of me, beating me, and they started laughing because I was the last person that should have been causing a riot. And I just thought, I said, it might work. And it did. And they finally threw me out of the ring on the floor. And then they started beating each other up. Thank God they did. They were killing me. Okay. All right. I had to get that one.
I'm sorry that happened, really.
Mr. Divine, I hope you didn't mind the poor old announcers and cause a riot, did you?
No. Look, it's causing a riot. The only thing is when you cause a riot, And they got to escort you out. That's when the stuff gets scary, because I got escorted out of Georgia. But it wasn't even me. I think again, it might have been my skin color, and the fact that I beat up the Rock and Roll Rebel. But I did what the boss said to do. Now here is where you get concerned, because we were like the undercard, so it was like, I did the match, and I'm like, I'm going to get my money and drive the hell back to Columbia, long-ass drive, and I'm still sitting there at the main event for getting paid. I'm like, is there something wrong? And when the promoter comes back with the police, I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what's the police? And they're like handing me my money. Well, now, look, I like what you did. And I might bring you back, but first we got a situation. The fans are still out there waiting. They're waiting for who? They're waiting on you. Okay.
Kick
so they're going to escort you. And at the time, I'm driving. At the time, I was driving a white Lincoln, so it's not like it's an inconspicuous car. So the policemen, they're talking to me. They say, yeah, you had a good match. And I go out the door, and then they stop, and they pull me back inside. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Next thing I know, they're like, well, okay, so they're going to escort you out of town. Really? Okay. I'm in the Lincoln, right. In the police escort. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And
right.
And I'm looking in the rear view, and I'm saying, well, there's a lot of cars back there. And then the policemen pull off to the side, and I'm like, okay. And in my brain, because I'm thinking, okay, they're going to kill the black man. This is it. This is, I've been set up. They're going to kill me. They come to the car and look. So we are concerned because there seems to be a lot of cars still following. That you mean those back there aren't police? No. Okay, so we're going to escort you to the county line, and I think they're going to pick you up from there. County line? And they were like, so you might want, do you want to get gas now? Yeah, I want to get gas now. I want to get the fuck home. Yeah, I want to get gas home. So when I get to the county line, there's more people there, and they drive me through, and finally they let me go. And I want you to know, Lincoln did not stop until it said, "Welcome to South Carolina." And I didn't even stop. I said, "I got enough gas to get to Columbia because I'm not stopping." Because all I know, they followed me from Georgia.
Lord, that's pretty. That's heat, baby.
Yes.
But I just beat, and that's the thing, when you're a heel and not only that, I don't even think it had much to do with me being a heel or even my skin color as much as how over the Rock and Roll Rebel was, because this is still the Rock and Roll Express is still hot, and the kid, he's got on the bandanas and stuff, and he looked like, you know, Ricky Morton a little bit. So you had that going.
Yeah.
And I just, I think I won the match. I think I used the gimmick in how I won. So that might have been, but he was over. And I don't even, to this day, I don't even think I even asked why I went over on him, because that was my first, I think it might have been my first time there. So I don't know why they did that, but. You know, come to think of it, maybe they were trying to kill me. Maybe I had made somebody mad somewhere in the past life, and they were supposed to be.
Brother, I would have booked a return match for the next month in a larger venue. With that kind of
heat. But you know what? And you know what? I would have been stupid enough to take that bucket.
Do it exactly.
but that's the magic, because I've had, even when I've worked as a, and I love working as a face, I remember when I flipped from heel to face with in Greer. At the time, my job, I couldn't get off because Lewis was running like every Tuesday. And I couldn't get off every Tuesday to go up there. So I was, and this is again before the internet, so nobody knew what my real job was. So I was gone for like 2 months. And he was like, well, I want to bring you back as a face. And I was like, okay, sure. How you going to do it? He said, no. If you can figure out a way to do a promo that can get you over as a face. So I thought on it, and I came back, and I went out to do a promo, and of course the fans booed. So I'm like, okay, this is probably not going to work. So I get to the ring, and I'm like, okay, so let me – yeah, I've been gone for 2 months. Let me explain some things to you people. But I was like, okay, so y'all know Big Daddy Kane. Y'all know what kind of guy I've been since I've been here. And I've never said that I've played by the rules, and I've never said that I haven't broken a rule and broken a law. But the thing you have to also, what I learned as well, is that you have to pay for what you've done. For the last 2 months, I've been in prison. And the crowd got quiet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I got him. And I said,
yeah, you got
him. I went on, I was like, and here's the thing. I'm back here because this man, Lewis Crane, well, Jim Lewis, he hired me back. Even though when I was here before, I told him I was going to take his company, I was going to destroy everything that he created. He brought me back. Because when I was in prison for 2 months, now, I understand 2 months ain't long, but anyway, the fans, they were getting it. I was like, he brought me back. So to him, I want to apologize, and I want to thank him for bringing me back. So they played Bob's music because we were tagged. We were pretty mean still at that time. So he comes out, and he's like, hey, Big Daddy, how you doing? Glad to see you. I said, hold it. Don't step in this ring. Because I wanted to talk to you, but since you came out here, I'm going to tell you this to your face. I said, where were you at for 2 months? Where were you at? Oh, well, you know, Big Daddy, I know where you were for 2 months. 2 months, when I'm in prison, you're out here making all the money. You're not thinking about your tag team partner. Well, I'm back here to handle some business, and I already handled it with Jim Lewis. But I got some business to handle with you. And I'm going to make it public. So in front of all these people here in Greer, South Carolina, I'm telling you, as my tag team partner, you're fired. Crowd pop. Bob played with it beautifully. So I come back out during intermission, which I rarely did as a heel. I came out of the intermission. Fans are coming up to me, and they're like, oh, Big Daddy, I'm so sorry I booed you when you came back. And I'm so glad that you came back, and the good Lord brought you back, and you learned that. And they were just like, I'm like, oh, I got these folks. So we do this for a little while. The Jim was like, you know, because, and only because, as we all know in wrestling, you may have some guys that don't show up or whatever, some things get changed. He's like, I'm going to need to flip you back to heel. I said, okay. How are we going to do this? He said, well, I'll leave it to you and Bob. So what we did old school. I teamed up with somebody else against Bob and somebody else. We're doing the match. Boom, 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 boom. I'm about to put the heat on Bob. I get my tag team partner in there. Bob's working on him. Bob works on me. I pull out the magic weapon. I pop my partner. Boom. Crowd's like, what the hell just happened? Pin this dude, 1, 2, 3. We cut the promo. Bob is like, Big Daddy King's got something to tell you people. Let me tell you, Sal Bellies in Greer, South Carolina, if you thought that Big Daddy King cared if you like me or not, you forgot the rule, baby. And that is, I'm the mean one, and he's the pretty one, and we always will be pretty mean. Crowd was like, hate you, but I hate you.
God, I love it. Oh,
hey, God. It's that face heel turn that's just, and Velvet, you know you've done that too, and I know Stro has.
Oh, yeah. Times. Well, I tell you what, even when you stop in-ring competition, you will always still have a job with me. So you ain't got to worry about that.
Oh, well, so you need a manager? You need a manager? Do you need a manager?
I need a mouthpiece. I need whatever. I got it. You right there.
Hey. As we've already discovered with this show here, I can talk for a long
yes,
time.
Sir. Yes, sir. We love you, brother. We love you.
Yeah, but let me end it with this. Let me go. I don't want to end it, but let me just say this at the end. That's when it comes to talking. That's why I think Dusty Rhodes, Hogan, Flair, all the guys that are good talking did so well because. Their ability to talk.
Yep.
The promo, to use this analogy, the promo is the trailer for the movie. And
right.
If the trailer isn't good, who's going to come see the movie? So if I do the trailer for the match between Magnificent Michael Devine and the Maestro, the promo, the trailer has got to make people want to come and see that movie. How do we want to see that movie? Well, in a world, there's strong rules and control. There's one man who dares to fight the evil of the capital. You got to bring him in. You got to have that mouth.
Yep.
And I'm realizing,
wow, that was better than Morgan Freeman, man. That's awesome.
thank you. I realize as I've gotten older and just my ability to talk, that is what's going to get the hook in and draw them in and makes the story that more engaging and the butts in the seat. You know?
Absolutely.
And what's that line from Blazing Saddles? Oh, Mr. Lamar, you work your mouth better than a $10 hooker. Whatever it was. I work my mouth so well.
Good Lord have mercy.
Oh.
Awesome. Man, Michael, we love you, dude. And you know what? Like I said, stroke can back me up on this. You are one of a kind, Michael Devine.
Well, I better be because I'm wearing some of the underwear.
Yeah, you wear his underwear. You better be good.
You're damn sure. But so are you, Velvet, because look, that gimmick is, look. Who can be 5 foot nothing and do the gimmick that you did, the same brother. You talk about me, the things you've done in the ring. I'm like between you and them, Tommy Feathers,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh God. We had him on last week, but you know what's funny you say that, because I remember the first time you saw me as Velvet, and you freaked out. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. What is this?
I sure did.
And then it was funny because Preston wasn't on the show that time. He was supposed to be there, and something happened. And you're like, all right, we got to see this. And you sat out there and you watched it and you were like, this is nuts. That's the only thing I remember, you just coming back and, this is nuts.
You're crazy.
We have fun. What is going on?
Yeah. We just had wonderful time doing this. And it's love and respect for the business and the ones that are doing it before us and the ones still doing it today.
Oh yeah.
It's just wonderful.
It's a great time for everybody. It's just something that, you know, we love to do. We respect, Stro respects, Chaz respects, everybody that's ever been in the ring that has been in our era. They respect it, and it's a brotherhood. You know, and whatever happens with professional wrestling, whatever direction it goes into, you know, we don't have to like it. We don't have to agree with it, but it's going to go in the direction it's going to go into. You know, it's nothing
right.
really we can do or say about it. So
right.
We just hang on to what we know and what we've been through.
Exactly.
So,
but you know what?
That'll keep
My
us.
Thing, I mean,
yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but it just. But
no.
I think what COVID was done is that sit down moment, and as the wrestling industry, this should be the time for us to sit down and bring back some of that stuff, because regardless of where it goes with this modern quote unquote wrestling. The base is still going to be stuff that me, you, and Stro were trained and do. You still got to have that there. But this is also an opportunity, though, for those promotions that do that, old school, quote unquote, to bring that back. I think people are seeing what they're seeing now, and they want to see, personally, they want to see the competition, they want to see the conflict, they want to see the sport, they want to see that part of it. And we just need to provide that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's going to evolve, and the thing is, back to that question about evolving, yes, wrestling is evolving. It's going to evolve back to what it was in the beginning, because it always does. It gets back to two guys in the ring playing human chess. And it's not about
recalibrate, reset the baseline.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about getting in there, heads up, doing it, and making the folk and bringing them into it and bringing the competition, baby. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. So, Dr. John?
Yes, sir.
I have one question for you.
What's that?
Would you be against next week's guest being the guy who's got everything but has nothing because his wife stole it from him? Chaz Moretti.
We can have Chaz anytime you want. Chaz.
Oh, Chaz. Whatever. I love you, Chaz. But no, Chaz, listen, Michael Devine, Chaz is a Midwest guy. He lives in Chicago. He's a Midwest guy. He works that territory. He works it well. I really like to get him on here. And maybe if you're not busy next week, maybe you can hang on and ask him a few noggin knockers. Well, I'd be happy.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd be like, matter of fact, but Chaz, is Chaz on right now?
Chaz is still here.
Yes, sir.
Well, how long have you been in Chicago?
Well, we moved to Chicago when I was a kid back in 1976, so I've been here ever since, but I've been in the wrestling business since 2010, so I'm entering my 11th year.
Okay, because I wrestled in Chicago a couple of times, but it was for Urban Championship. Chris, what was that guy's name? It was Chris. It was an organization called Urban Championship Wrestling.
I know the company.
Yeah. And I worked for him. I did a couple of shots there, and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I just didn't want to make that drive because I don't like flying. So it was a drive for me. I didn't like making that drive. But do you know what ever happened to them? Because I never heard from them. Because they booked me after the second time they booked me, and they were going to book me again, and I just wasn't going to make that drive. But whatever happened to them?
It's the problem that we see up here all the time in Chicago. There's so many promotions, and a lot of them really lack the long-term funding to stay afloat. You know, they're relying on the gate to keep the bills paid, and that's not what's supposed to happen. And so a lot of them fall off by the wayside. I don't know if that's the case with Urban Championship. I haven't seen anything from them, God, in the last 2 years. But
okay.
It's a problem that's happening all too often, and I don't really know if there's an answer for it, to be honest.
Well, I know the answer is folks need to run. They need to run their force like they're running a business and not running like they're running a hobby.
All right,
I agree.
Gentlemen, I tell you what, we'll continue this next week. This is Dr. John, the British lady, is speaking and saying it's time to say goodnight from Pro Wrestling Interviews. Velvet, thanks for being here. Papa Stroh, Chaz, Todd, if I missed your name, I'm sorry. And thank you, me, Dr. John. I made it here even though it's cold. So thanks.
And Michael,
have a great week, and we'll see you. And of course, the man, the myth, and the total legend, Michael Devine. So we'll see you guys next week at 10 p.m. Pro Wrestling Interviews. Take care.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Gentlemen, Michael, please come back. Everybody, be safe.
All right, sure will. Good night.